from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
The Red Sox once again fall to the Houston Astros tonight, a 5-4 defeat against a team that continues to be a thorn in this team's side, as the Astros, a club that looked dead at the beginning of the year, 7-19 to begin the season, and really they've been the best team in Major League Baseball since then. And you go back to the start of June, the Red Sox, they came into today with the second best record in the American League since the start of June, but the Astros have been better. 35-22, now 36-22 with the win today against the Sox. And a team in the Astros that's hot, that's fighting for a playoff spot, ends up downing the Red Sox, who right now are two games back of that third wild card spot. It could be 2.5 by night's end if the Royals end up beating the Cardinals tonight, or it could still be 1.5 if the Royals, like they did last night, lose to the Cardinals. But regardless, we're in the midst of a tough stretch. The Red Sox, starting on Friday, have begun a stretch in which they are playing 13 games in 16 days against teams that are in possession of a playoff spot. And we knew this coming into the month of August, that this was going to be a tough road for this club because they were going to be playing so many good teams. And to just further illustrate that point, the lone team in that 16-day stretch that doesn't have a playoff spot is a team that won the championship last year in the Texas Rangers. And what we're seeing right now with this group is, one, on the pitching side of things, they continue to give up the long ball. In this game, they give up four home runs. Yordan Alvarez ends up hitting two. You had Zach DiCenzo hitting his first career home run, and then Alex Bregman also went deep. But then on the offensive side of things, one thing that has killed them all season long has been the swing and miss, the strikeouts in general. Fifth worst strikeout rate in the sport coming into this game, and they struck out 15 times, and it's coming at a tough point. And we're going to hear from Alex Cora in one moment, but This month of August has been one that has really killed this club, you know, over the last 5 years. And you probably knew it coming into this month. You're a tried and true fan, which we know you are. But the Sox have not had a winning month of August since 2019. 2020, that's a lost year, right? 2021, that was when they lost a ton of ground in the playoff race. And of course, we know how that season ended, by going all the way to the ALCS. But it looked, you know, in that season at that point, like things were going to completely fall by the wayside, but they were able to pick it up and they end up making it to the playoffs, beating the Yankees in the wild card game, and of course beating the Rays in the ALDS before losing in six to the Astros. 2022, weird trade deadline. Things fall, you know, completely apart really for that team, and they end up going 12-16 that month. Last year, 13-15 in the month of August, and that's when the wheels fell off in this whole experience, and specifically with the Sox in the Chaim Bloom era. That's when you started to see it come to an end. That Dodger series was the killer last year in the month of August. And now what you worry about with this team is that this is where it all falls apart. And I'm not saying it's necessarily going to, but it's the worry. It's the thing in the back of your head when you look at this team and you say, okay, offensively, despite the strikeouts today, they have been so good, especially since the All-Star break. But the starting pitching is starting to crumble a little bit. Now, Houck was good last night. Josh Winkowski gave you three solid innings today. But with where a lot of these pitchers are, it's a concern. And especially for a team that's still trying to fight for a playoff spot. But then on top of that, it's the bullpen that is really becoming a concern. And especially with how many home runs that they are giving up, especially since the All-Star break, which has been a huge concern. They're 29th in the sport since the All-Star break in home runs per nine in terms of the bullpen. And again, with Brad Keller giving you a lot of length, four innings, he does still give up two home runs. And then Zach Kelly once again allows a home run. So three home runs allowed by the bullpen in today's game. It's a concern. And we want to hear from you, 617-779-7937. Calls are starting to roll in already about where you're at with this team now that they've lost the first two games of this three-game set against the Houston Astros. Because I think there are some real concerns popping up, and especially when it's a stretch here against above 500 teams, which you and I both know the Sox overall this season have struggled against, just in terms of their record compared to what it is against sub-500 teams. They haven't been as good, which makes sense, but at the same time, when you're trying to stay afloat in this playoff race, you need to rack up some W's. So again, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. You can also text us at 37937. We're going to take you up to 8 p.m. here on WEI, but let's now hear from the head honcho, Alex Cora, and what he had to say after this 5-4 loss to the Astros.
Just control the strike zone. Just hits for average. He'll take his walks, you know, and for me, he's up there with Judge, to be honest with you. It's just, you bring a lefty, hits lefties. It seems like he likes hitting here, you know. That wall kind of like keeps him close, you know. He can shoot it the other way, and then he can do that. Closest thing to David, probably, in the game. He, you know, like very, very, very similar to David Ortiz.
You know, really gets a single, make it a one-run game. Rafi leads off the
night
with a double.
Yeah, I mean, we could put pressure, you know. Then he got a fastball in the inner half and just, you know, took a shot at it, you know, 3-1, and then we went with our two best pinch hitters. So, you know, it's part of the game, man. I'm more pleased with this one than the one yesterday, you know. That was a good game. We pitched well. We were able to reset, you know, and we were one swing away from winning it.
Yeah, Winkowski-Keller combination.
Did an outstanding job. Good job. Obviously, the big dude. Hit the homers, but pound the strike zone. You know, we're able to, you know, pitch ahead in the count. It was good to see.
You talked about how much faster and more dynamic you guys are on the bases this year. But how fun is it to watch Duran and Hamilton kind of go back and forth, like tying each other for the team?
I mean, it's a great race, you know, and we'll see what happens at the end. But you know, these guys are dynamics. They're doing an outstanding job. You know, if they keep going that way, that means they're getting on base, you know. So they're doing an outstanding job for us. We're good. Thank you.
All right, so a short little session there from Alex Cora after the loss today against the Astros. And he said, I'm more pleased with this one than the one yesterday. That was a good game. And, you know, the Sox were behind the eight ball in this game in the sense of you knew it was going to be a bullpen game. And Josh Winkowski was going to give you one turn at the very least through the rotation or through the lineup, but he wasn't going to go much more than that. And that was pretty much the case. He gave you three innings, two hits, one run, no walks, one strikeout. And, you know, in that respect, solid. He gives up the home run to Yordan Alvarez. And then you knew somebody like Brad Keller was going to have to take the bulk of the innings. And he kept them in it. Again, like your expectations just can't be that high for Keller in terms of what he's done this year. And in the end, the Sox just couldn't do enough offensively, put up the type of numbers that we've seen from them since the All-Star break. So they fall by a score of 5-4. But again, the Sox now 4-4 this month, but more importantly, once again, two games back of the Royals, and could be 2.5 if the Royals win today against the Cardinals for that third American League wildcard spot. Lot to get to in today's Red Sox review, but most importantly, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. We already have the calls rolling in, and we will get to those on the other side of this break. But before we get to that, we have what's trending on WEI with Nico Manganiello.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
The lefty's ready. The 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He went back to the slider. And Gonzalez was way out in front of it. And Houston wins as Hader has his 25th save in a row. And the Astros win 5-4 on the strength of four home runs and a terrific starting pitching performance over seven innings by the rookie Spencer Arrighetti. Final score, Houston 5, the Red Sox 4.
Well, you couldn't have picked a more perfect song rejoin, Nico. Little Beck. And fitting. Red Sox lose again 5-4 against the Houston Astros here in the middle match of a three-game set. Joe Weil with you here from Fenway Park. My man Nico Manganiello back at WEEI. You were sitting on that one, Nico, weren't you?
I was, yep. I was ready for it, so.
Whipped it out at the perfect time. Red Sox with the loss today. They've now lost three straight games. And Josh Hader, by the way, with that save. He's now converted 25 straight save opportunities, most ever in Astros history. He breaks a tie with Brad Lidge in 2005, and that was like, you know, I know he had one good year with the Phillies when they won the World Series, but that 05 Brad Lidge, that was peak Brad Lidge, and that was before he gave up the home run that went all the way to Mars to Albert Pujols in the NLCS, which it's a moment in my childhood that I will never forget as a fan of baseball. But anyway, getting back to the picture today, the Sox, again, they've now lost three in a row, and you figured this was going to be a tough one, a bullpen game, really, with Josh Winkowski going just three innings, and that was the expectation. And the Astros end up banging four home runs out against the Red Sox here at Fenway Park. And we want to hear from you, 617-779-7937, after this one-run loss. Red Sox now in one-run games, now 14-8, but they've now lost four of their last seven series. They're 8-8 over their last 16 games. And, you know, this is the worries are starting to come a little bit to the forefront here with how tough things are for the Sox in their August slate. And we've been hitting on it a ton. But you finish out this Astros series, you get the Rangers at home who are below 500. But again, they still have some players left over from the team that won it all last year, a lot of players. Then you go on the road to Baltimore, who leads the division. You could argue the toughest division in Major League Baseball. You got four games at Camden Yards. Then you're playing the Astros for three in their home facility, Minute Maid Park. You get the off day finally, but then you have the Arizona Diamondbacks before you finally get a big deep breath and you take on the Blue Jays. But we'll see where things are at that point. And the Diamondbacks, they've righted the ship and they've been able to transform once again into a contender. So it's a tough stretch upcoming here, and we'll see how things end up shaking out. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones for the first time today. We go to Philip first. What's going on, Philip?
Yeah, very disappointing, our Red Sox. Breslow did not do a good job at the trading deadline, and I blame it on the management, John Henry and his group. Let's face it, they're involved in the Fenway group, the Pittsburgh Penguins they bought, the English soccer team. They're rumored to buy the Celtics over $5 billion. From the business side, they're going to make money. From the Red Sox side, well, not the Tampa Bay Red Sox, but that's how they're doing it. Very disappointed. You know, and like you mentioned, look at the schedule they got. I mean, we're on the Titanic. This is it. I mean, look at the last several years. I've been following the Sox since I was a young lad back in the 60s. This is incredible. It's not right. The fans, highest ticket prices. We continue on. The Garcia Sims, the relief pitchers from the Reds and Angels, come on. You know, we need a right-hand batter. I was watching the game today, and I'm saying, okay, if you had the right-handed batter that you should have picked up, but they didn't, as you said, other clubs have improved themselves. Arizona improved. Some of these other teams. Kansas City improved. They made some great things. Maybe on the waiver wire we can get this one of these sluggers with a high salary. But then again, the Red Sox don't want to take on that. I mean, we're no fools. You know, we've been following this team for all these years. But the thing is, they just don't want to do it anymore. Let's call it like it is. They're running as a business, but not from the fans' aspect. And I've been to the ball games several times this year. Just, it's very, I don't understand it. You know, the Ortiz days are long gone, Pedro Martinez. But we want that back. But I don't have all the answers, but I do know that's a business aspect. But when the kids, you know it, look at the percentages when these AAA kids come up whatever, overall now. It's, what is it, 2 to 3% that they make it to major leagues and become stars? I mean, come on. I mean, when's it going to end, my friend?
Philip, I appreciate the call. Hey, before we let you go here, what was the move that you hoped that Craig Breslow would make at the trade deadline? Philip, are you still there? All right, well, it looks like Phillip's off the line. So that's my question in terms of what the Red Sox could have done at the trade deadline. I understand being underwhelmed from the perspective of the optimism kind of leading into the trade deadline and then looking at what the acquisitions were. But I think once you finally go through the weeds of it a little bit, you say, okay, they did help the bullpen, which we knew they needed to do. They did get a right-handed bat in Danny Jansen, who's actually been pretty good for the Red Sox in terms of what he's already done in his short time here. He had a home run today. That was nice to see. And then James Paxton, you know, we'll see how he pitches tomorrow. You had one not-so-good start, one good start, but you at least did help in some way that starting rotation. I think people's... And I say this just because I've done a couple of the post-game shows. And by the way, you know, recently, if you want to call in, 617-779-7937. We're going to take you up to 8 p.m. here on Red Sox Review. You can also text us at 37937 as well. What I'm starting to you know, as we look at where the Red Sox are at right now, two games back of the third wild card spot, and again, it could be a game and a half after tonight. I'm hearing a lot of people call in about the trade deadline part of it. And I do understand that in a sense, just as from a fan's perspective, wanting this team to do more. But to me, all of this, like people like Philip that are, you know, of course, this is part of being a fan. You want to see this team do stuff. You want to see them win. We want to see them win. But to me, where this is all in my mind, you know, going back to is still the offseason. And the reason I say that is because the biggest question mark about this team is starting pitching because of where everybody's at. And you think about what this team could have done in the offseason, what the hope was in the offseason, and in some ways the expectation in the offseason was that this team was going to add more starting pitching. And yes, they signed Lucas Giolito. He ends up getting hurt. That's just a tough, you know, that's just a tough blow for a team that was hoping at the very least they could bank in some innings with him. But this team and the fans were expecting more in the offseason, and it didn't happen. They didn't go after the big fish that were out there. And in some ways, the chickens are coming home to roost in that sense. We'll see how it goes. The bullpen has been a little bit more of a concern recently, and especially since the All-Star break, because they rank toward the bottom in every category. Hopefully when Justin Slayton comes back, that's a big lift. Liam Hendricks threw another live batting practice today. That was another good sign. And hopefully they can help that group that prior to this recent stretch had been really solid. But since the All-Star break, it's been tough. But to me, the offseason is still the big looming question over everything this year. The lack of action. Or big action. More so than the trade deadline. And that's the point I'm trying to make. 617-779-7937. Again, Red Sox fall 5-4 against the Astros. Let's go to Rick in Salem. He wants to talk about the Sox pitching staff. What's going on, Rick?
Yeah, no, good. But, hey, pretty good, brother. But, you know, everything Philip said was reality.
Say it again?
I'm being dead serious, brother. Everything Philip had to say to you, the caller before me, was reality. He hit the nail on the head. It was perfect. He's right with all that. With the Red Sox, with the ownership and all this. Because listen, brother, no, they could have got, I'm going to just give you one example for what the Dodgers gave up to get him. We could have gave up more than that, and it wouldn't even have touched our farm system. And we could have got Flaherty, but it's the money end of it.
You don't think they'd have to give up a top prospect to get Flaherty?
No, because the Dodgers, listen, gave up the 18th prospect. It was something like that for him. It's something else. No, absolutely not. Brother, even if they gave up one top 10 prospect, no, I'm not talking about the top three, but even an 8 or 9, you can't, all these guys ain't going to come through. You got to take a shot once in a while. This ownership, if Ortiz and Pedro and them were still here, wouldn't stand for this. They'd end up starting barking. They'd end up getting out of here.
Well, yeah, and
this
Rick,
ownership
Rick,
group's got bad, bro.
Well, Rick, let me just say this, because I agree with you. I agree with you that you have to take a swing. I totally agree with that. That's how you win championships. That's how the Red Sox ended up winning a championship, because they took a swing and traded away their prospects and got a guy like Chris Sale in tow, because you dealt away a top prospect at the time at Yoan Moncada, and then also dealt some prospects that I think a lot of people thought were going to be good big league players and didn't necessarily turn out that way. Kopech's been okay, and ironically, he's a Dodger. And then Luis Posabe, you know, he didn't really amount to too much in the big leagues. So I'm with you on that. I'm totally with you on that.
Listen,
from what we were... Go ahead. No, you go ahead, Rick.
Chris, listen, Chris Sale started pitching well at the end of his last season in Boston. How are you going to give him up and then pay most of the salary? That made no sense at all.
No, see, I disagree. Hey, Rick, I disagree with that one. I disagree. I hear where you're coming from with everything else, but that one I disagree with. And listen, let's talk about the reality part of it. You're right. It hasn't worked out, but everybody here was ready to deal him and ready to let him go. It had been a disaster since he signed that extension.
But I'm going to give you, brother, let me give you one more thing, because I know you have other callers. Ready? As far as ready, remember when the Red Sox were looking for a general manager? There was a lot of good people that weren't interested in the job. Ready? Look in the mirror on that one.
Well, I think they've settled on somebody that they're very happy to have, Rick. And I do appreciate the call.
I'm not talking about the manager with Corey.
You're talking about the general manager. I know they're talking about Craig Breslow, I think they're very
happy. I'm not talking Breslow.
No, I just think that they're happy that they have him. You're right that there were some misses there, but you know, in terms of people that weren't interested in the job, but I think they've also found somebody that they're very happy with at the same time. So. A double-edged...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead, Rick.
But the situation with that, Breslow's on strings. Breslow, like any real general manager, that's why Dombrowski got out of here. Ready? When you got these guys breathing down your neck over money, and we're not even looking at big money, brother, that they passed up on guys in the offseason. It don't make sense. Henry and them, listen, they need to start looking for, another ownership group trying to force these guys to sell their team. Honestly, I've seen enough of these clowns.
I know, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, Rick. I think this is...
It probably isn't.
Yeah. I mean, I think this, you know, we're at where we're at. And I think there's still some positive here, but at the same time, I understand the frustration. And Rick, that's why you just heard me talk about with the offseason now leading to the current moment and where this team is at. Right, because I think the biggest issue, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, is that we keep hoping on, you know, like you want a team in a lot of ways to be, you know, their 50th percentile, right, is being a playoff team rather than just hoping things continue to exceed expectations, which is in a lot of ways where we're at. This team has exceeded expectations, but at the same time, you're starting to see parts of it regress. And I know you're feeling the same way. You just said it, like, about this August stretch. It's going to be tough for this group, and that's where my biggest concern is at this point. I'm sure you feel the same way.
But you know what I do like about this team? This team's building a good foundation once they can get this pitching organized down the line. I'm not saying this year, but down the line with a lot of these young guys developing, they got some really good pieces.
Oh, ready
with Breslow and them doing the right thing, and Cora's a good manager. I got to give him his props with all the injuries and nonsense he's went through. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be very competitive, but they got to straighten out the pitching. And I don't like Louis Garcia. I think he stinks, brother.
Out,
and he's been with us. We've had him. He's been hit. They give it
we'll
up
see.
Runs.
Well, we just got, you know, listen, we'll see. We'll give him a little bit more time. They're going to need him. That's point one. Point two, you're right. The Red Sox, I think they have the best manager in baseball, and if not, maybe one of two. I think Bruce Bochy deserves some love as well, even if the Rangers aren't good this year. He's got four World Series rings. And then you have this farm system that's as good as it is right now, and these guys at the top of the
good pieces.
You got some good pieces. I think pitching is still that final link, and that's why they traded for somebody like Quinn Priester with the Pirates, because they needed some more depth in the organization. That's still the big looming concern, and I think you might have to go outside of the organization to bolster this group. But I agree with you. I agree with you that this group, this organization, future-wise looks good. You got your manager inked for a couple more years, and that's very good because he's one of the best in the sport. The question is, how can they put the finishing touches on this team to become a contender? And right now, we're looking at a team that is struggling a little bit, and yes, it's more in the moment saying this, but again, you know, looking just in the macro level, okay, where's the starting pitching at? Where's the bullpen at? Right now, it's trending in bad directions. The question is, can they turn it around? But, Rick, I appreciate it. I listen back and forth.
All right.
I love it. I love it. You call in anytime, okay?
All right. All right, brother. Have a good day.
All righty. Rick from Salem. Listen, I love my North Shore guys, too. I mean, I do. One of the best things that has been discovered in my lifetime is the North Shore roast beef sandwich. Nico, you ever had one?
I've had a few, Joe. Which one are you talking about?
I'm just talking
just in general.
Just in general. They're the best.
You know what used to have the best roast beef sandwiches was in North Andover, Harrison's Roast Beef. It shut down like a couple months ago. Greatest roast beef sandwich I ever had in my life. I used to go there all the time.
I was going to say, I could jump in the car and go there right now.
I think a new place has taken it. I haven't tried the new place yet. I'm too heartbroken to do it. But it's right by Merrimack College.
Gotcha. Okay. Man, I wish I could have went, because if you're giving that endorsement, I'm sure it's good.
The real question is, how do you get your roast beef? Because there's only one correct way to do it.
The three-way, right?
Yes, exactly. Sauce, okay. Cheese, mayo. Yeah,
you got to do it. Yeah,
100%.
There's no other way. No other way. 617-779-7937. If you want to chime in about North Shore roast beef sandwiches, we're all for it. But we're talking Red Sox. Astros beat the Red Sox by a score of 8-4 today at Fenway Park. Nico, do we have the Josh Winkowski postgame comments? We can play that for everyone. All right, let's hear from Josh Winkowski. He got the start today. 3 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 run, no walks, 1 strikeout. Let's hear what he had to say after today's game.
Felt good, mentally felt good. Been liking where this stuff has been at lately and throwing a lot more strikes.
Pitch to Alvarez, did you put it where you want it?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a really good swing by him. 1-0 count, changeup. From what I saw, it was like outer third, a little low. So, yeah, just really good swing by him. It was decently good pitch.
How tough is that top three of the order for the Houston Astros to face, trying to navigate around that lineup?
Yeah, they're extremely tough. The top of the lineup has a ton of talent. And if you make a mistake, they'll definitely make you pay for it. Definitely know as Alvarez comes up, you're trying to kind of keep guys off base and whatnot, but Altuve and Bregman are really good at getting on base. So then even Diaz behind Alvarez is another good hitter. So, yeah, really talented top of the lineup, and just got to make your pitches.
Cora originally planned to said that you were going to go once through the order. What was the kind of conversation like when he had you face a couple guys for the second time?
Yeah, I mean, didn't really talk too much during the game. Felt like my second inning was pretty strong pitch count wise, and a lot of weak contact, so was happy to face the top of the lineup again.
Yeah, so that's Josh Winkowski talking about how he got to finish out his outing facing Altuve, facing Bregman, got 2 ground outs to end his 3 innings of work. So overall, a solid start for Winkowski, who's been good in a starter's role. That has been true, but the outings have been short, so obviously from a starter standpoint, you'd like a little bit more length. The Red Sox opting to go just 3 innings with Winkowski today, and Brad Keller ends up getting the loss. He ends up giving up 2 home runs, 3 runs in 4 innings of work. He's now 0-3 this season, and again, the Sox fall 5-4 against the Astros. Back at it tomorrow. We'll preview that game. We'll also get you some highlights from this game coming up right after this. You're listening to Red Sox Review here on WEEI.
We're back to Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, back here at Fenway Park as we close out Red Sox Review. Final segment. Sox fall 5-4 against the Houston Astros this afternoon, which slowly trickled into the evening. Still beautiful here at Fenway Park. Gorgeous day in Boston, but the Red Sox have now dropped 3 consecutive games, and they sit 2 games back of that third wildcard spot held by the Kansas City Royals. We'll see how they fare tonight. Hopefully they lose again to the Cardinals so that the Sox could still be a game and a half back as they were coming into today's action. Let's get you the highlight recap of today's ball game. Josh Winkowski, he got the start for the Red Sox, and he got 2 quick outs, 2 ground outs from Altuve and Bregman, but then the ever-dangerous Yordan Alvarez stepped to the plate.
He's all over the top 10 in many statistical categories. They play him to pull, and he pulls one to deep right center field, back by the Red Sox bullpen, and gone. Over the bullpen, about 3 rows deep into the bleachers. Number 23 for Alvarez, his 60th RBI. And Houston has a 1-0 lead here in the first inning.
So Yordan Alvarez gave the Astros the early advantage, as you just heard Sean McDonough say. Home run number 23 on the season for Yordan Alvarez. Winkowski ended up going three innings, allowing just one run. Brad Keller took over and tossed a scoreless fourth and fifth inning. In the bottom of the fifth, Red Sox at that point were still held hitless in this ballgame. They had mustered just one walk against Spencer Arrighetti. But then the newcomer, Danny Jansen, one of those trade deadline acquisitions, stepped to the plate with nobody on and nobody out in the bottom of the fifth.
He has struck out six. His first pitch of the inning, hit high and deep to left by Danny Jansen. Way back and gone. They have a hit now, and it's a round tripper that cleared the monster seats between the foul pole and the first light tower down the left field line. Jansen's second home run in six games as a member of the Red Sox, and this one is tied at one.
So Danny Jansen going deep, second home run with the Sox. He ends up finishing 1-for-4 today, so now 7-for-18 in his short time with the Red Sox. Of course, he was traded over from the Blue Jays. So it was a 1-1 game going into the top of the sixth inning. Brad Keller in his third inning of work, he walked Alex Bregman to begin that inning, and then Yordan Alvarez, again already with one home run today, ends up making it two after this swing.
2-2 the count. Here's the pitch, and Alvarez swings it. It's a high drive to right field, deep, back toward the wall, and this ball is gone. He's done it again. High, towering drive, pulled into the grandstand in right field over that low wall about 10 rows back. 3-1 Houston.
Yeah, we've seen enough of Yordan Alvarez here at Fenway Park, getting flashbacks to that 2021 ALCS. So it was a 3-1 game after that two-run shot by Alvarez, his fourth multi-home run game of the year. So 3-1 contest going into the top of the seventh inning, and then Alex Bregman, who's also been a Red Sox killer at times in his career, he ends up sending one out.
Keller's thrown 65 pitches, now 41 strikes. The bullpen remains quiet. Hey, for a bullpen game, you're getting almost seven innings out of two pitchers. There's a high drive to center field. This one's crushed back by the flagpole and into the hitter's backdrop. A long home run. Alex Bregman, 4-1 Houston. That almost hit the back wall in center.
So Alex Bregman goes deep. Third home run of the game for the Astros at that point. But the Red Sox, they'd answer with one back in the bottom of the seventh inning, and the swing came from the Macho Man.
Spencer Arrighetti delivers in the seventh inning, and there's a long drive to right off the bat of Yoshida past the pesky pole, and this one is gone deep into the grandstand. About 20 rows back, Yoshida hitting the first pitch of the seventh of Arrighetti for a home run, and it is now 4-2 Houston. Wow, did he nail that one.
So at this point, all the runs have come on home runs. That would finally come to an end in the eighth inning, but it was the Astros hitting their fourth home run of the game, and this time it was a rookie.
1-2 pitch hit in the air, high, deep, towering fly ball. That one's going to land on Lansdowne Street. Over the monster seats, another home run for Houston, and this one is the first of his major league career. For the 24-year-old rookie from Ohio, Zach DiCenzo. Also his first major league run batted in. And it was a no-doubter, a very high fly ball that carried well over everything in left field.
And DiCenzo rightfully fired up after hitting that home run, banging his chest. So it was 5-2 Astros. In the bottom of the eighth inning, though, the Red Sox were threatening. They had two guys on with two out. And Willier Abreu, who has been a run-producing machine this year, he came through with a big swing.
This was a problem last night. They went 1-for-12 with men in scoring position. There's a line drive right field. That's going to drop, and it's in for a hit. Two runs will score on a base hit by Willier Abreu. It's 5-4 Houston now. We mentioned how deep the outfield was playing. That landed pretty well out into the outfield grass, but McCormick, so deep, had a long way to go and couldn't get near it. So a two-run single for Abreu, and the play by Duran to take second base, for which he was credited with a stolen base, is big. He probably wouldn't have scored from first on that.
So the Red Sox made it interesting. It was 5-4 going into the bottom of the ninth inning, and Rafael Devers hit a leadoff double, but three straight outs by Josh Hader. Ball game over. Astros take it 5-4, setting up a chance for the Astros to sweep tomorrow. Red Sox looking to salvage the series finale. First pitch at 1:35. James Paxton getting the start for the Sox. I want to thank Nico Manganiello. Great work at the flagship WEEI. I'm Joe Weil giving you the final one final time. Astros 5, Red Sox 4. Thanks for joining us for Red Sox Review here on WEEI. This afternoon, which slowly trickled into the evening, still beautiful here at Fenway Park. Gorgeous day in Boston, but the Red Sox have now dropped three consecutive games, and they sit two games back of that third wildcard spot held by the Kansas City Royals. We'll see how they fare tonight. Hopefully they lose again to the Cardinals so that the Sox could still be a game and a half back as they were coming into today's action. Let's get you the highlight recap of today's ball game. Josh Winkowski, he got the start for the Red Sox, and he got two quick outs, two ground outs from Altuve and Bregman, but then the ever-dangerous Yordan Alvarez stepped to the plate.
He's all over the top 10 in many statistical categories. They play him to pull, and he pulls one to deep right center field, back by the Red Sox bullpen, and gone. Over the bullpen, about three rows deep into the bleachers. Number 23 for Alvarez, his 60th RBI. And Houston has a 1-0 lead here in the first inning.
So Yordan Alvarez gave the Astros the early advantage, as you just heard Sean McDonough say. Home run number 23 on the season for Yordan Alvarez. Winkowski ended up going three innings, allowing just one run. Brad Keller took over and tossed a scoreless fourth and fifth inning. In the bottom of the fifth, Red Sox at that point were still held hitless in this ballgame. They had mustered just one walk against Spencer Arrighetti. But then the newcomer, Danny Jansen, one of those trade deadline acquisitions, stepped to the plate with nobody on and nobody out in the bottom of the fifth.
He has struck out six. His first pitch of the inning, hit high and deep to left by Danny Jansen. Way back and gone. They have a hit now, and it's a round tripper that cleared the monster seats between the foul pole and the first light tower down the left field line. Jansen's second home run in six games as a member of the Red Sox, and this one is tied at one.
So Danny Jansen going deep, second home run with the Sox. He ends up finishing 1-for-4 today, so now 7-for-18 in his short time with the Red Sox. Of course, he was traded over from the Blue Jays. So it was a 1-1 game going into the top of the sixth inning. Brad Keller in his third inning of work, he walked Alex Bregman to begin that inning, and then Yordan Alvarez, again, already with one home run today, ends up making it two after this swing.
2-2 the count. Here's the pitch, and Alvarez swings it. It's a high drive to right field, deep back toward the wall, and this ball is gone. He's done it again. High, towering drive pulled into the grandstand in right field over that low wall about 10 rows back. 3-1 Houston.
Yeah, we've seen enough of Yordan Alvarez here at Fenway Park, getting flashbacks to that 2021 ALCS. So it was a 3-1 game after that two-run shot by Alvarez, his fourth multi-home run game of the year. So 3-1 contest going into the top of the seventh inning, and then Alex Bregman, who's also been a Red Sox killer at times in his career, he ends up sending one out.
Keller's thrown 65 pitches, now 41 strikes. The bullpen remains quiet. Hey, for a bullpen game, you're getting almost seven innings out of two pitchers. There's a high drive to center field. This one's crushed back by the flagpole and into the hitter's backdrop. A long home run. Alex Bregman, 4-1 Houston. That almost hit the back wall in center.
So Alex Bregman goes deep. Third home run of the game for the Astros at that point. But the Red Sox, they'd answer with one back in the bottom of the seventh inning, and the swing came from the Macho Man.
Spencer Arrighetti delivers in the seventh inning, and there's a long drive to right off the bat of Yoshida past the pesky pole, and this one is gone deep into the grandstand. About 20 rows back, Yoshida hitting the first pitch of the seventh, and Arrighetti for a home run. And it is now 4-2 Houston. Wow, did he nail that one.
So at this point, all the runs have come on home runs. That would finally come to an end in the eighth inning, but it was the Astros hitting their fourth home run of the game, and this time it was a rookie.
1-2 pitch hit in the air, high, deep, towering fly ball. That one's going to land on Lansdowne Street. Over the monster seats, another home run for Houston, and this one is the first of his major league career for the 24-year-old rookie from Ohio, Zach DiCenzo. Also his first major league run batted in, and it was a no-doubter, a very high fly ball that carried well over everything in left field.
And DiCenzo rightfully fired up after hitting that home run, banging his chest. So it was 5-2 Astros in the bottom of the eighth inning, though. The Red Sox were threatening. They had two guys on with two out. And Willier Abreu, who has been a run-producing machine this year, he came through with a big swing.
This was a problem last night. They went 1-for-12 with men in scoring position. There's a line drive right field. That's going to drop, and it's in for a hit. Two runs will score on a base hit by Willier Abreu. It's 5-4 Houston now. We mentioned how deep the outfield was playing. That landed pretty well out into the outfield grass, but McCormick, so deep, had a long way to go and couldn't get near it. So a two-run single for Abreu, and the play by Duran to take second base, for which he was credited with a stolen base, is big. He probably wouldn't have scored from first on that.
So the Red Sox made it interesting. It was 5-4 going into the bottom of the ninth inning, and Rafael Devers hit a leadoff double, but three straight outs by Josh Hader. Ball game over. Astros take it 5-4, setting up a chance for the Astros to sweep tomorrow. Red Sox looking to salvage the series finale. First pitch at 1:35. James Paxton getting the start for the Sox. I want to thank Nico Manganiello. Great work at the flagship WEEI. I'm Joe Weil giving you the final one final time. Astros 5, Red Sox 4. Thanks for joining us for Red Sox Review here on WEEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.